Welcome back, combatants, to another great episode. If you've been with us for a while, we welcome you back. If you're new here, please hit follow or subscribe wherever you watch or listen to the podcast, as it really helps us out. Today, we are joined by two great guests who have appeared in previous episodes of our podcast. Our incredible friend and YouTuber, Lou, alongside the very talented artist, Justin McCollum, known for his wonderful work with 3D print and, of course, for working with iBallistic Studios, who are bringing us MK Trilogy 4K. Justin details a lot of the arenas and so forth. Here on Kamidoku, we have reviewed almost all of the other Mortal Kombat films. However, today, we'd like to shift our focus to the newly released Mortal Kombat Legends Snowblind. A different direction for this line of films, maybe a breath of fresh air, or maybe a certain angle that was lacking. Let's dive into the specifics of this new title and see what it had to offer. There's lots to talk about today, and we're very eager to begin discussing the movie. Thanks for being a part of today's special, Justin and Lou. It means a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem, my man. It's a pleasure as always.
So to begin, I just want to hear your guys' thoughts. What was your initial reaction when you seen the trailer that was released? What was your guys' feelings on that? Who would like to go first?
Go on, Justin. I'll let you go first, my man.
It's been a while since I've actually seen the trailer. To think of how I felt in that moment. So, let me see here. I briefly seen the second one, and I wasn't too crazy about it, so I was kind of shocked actually that they made a third one. So I was a little bit shocked, but I thought it was really, really cool, especially since it's taking place in a new era, and around the 3D era. So that to me is also especially important. People know me as like a 3D era enthusiast. So, I think it's great. And I really enjoyed seeing the trailer when it came out. So, I was like, I have to get this on DVD and check it out for myself and just get to know the story a little bit. Cause I'm not a lore expert by any means, but I wanted to know, where exactly in the Mortal Kombat timeline it was going to take place. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Lou?
Yeah, fair. I mean, I only watched the first trailer, and that was it, because I'm beginning to be one of them guys that I just watch the first trailer and leave it, because I don't want too much spoil for me. So then, after watching the trailer, I was, again, like, from my previous review of Battle of the Realms and that, I was kind of like, again, I can't believe that they're making another one. But even from that, like, I thought give it a go, because it's a Kenshi story. I love Kenshi. So, and again, like you say, where it's like a new era and got the 3D characters going back in and that, it's just, for me, it's all about it, man. It's so good. Like, anyway, but yeah, just going from the first impressions of the first trailer. Yeah, it was, again, it's Mortal Kombat. I love it. I'm gonna want to see it.
Of course.
Yeah.
But
absolutely. But
yeah, there was still a little bit part of me that was a little bit hesitant about how they were going to pan it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sort of as Justin has implied, there was a lot of mixed feelings with Battle of the Realms. So going into this one, it was like, let's be open, I guess, but I'm not sure, you know, how it'll be. Because my first impression was sort of a bit of mixed feelings, meaning I was super excited that they were based around... it seemed the 3D era, right? Because 3D era is my number one. It really is. I've made that public. But at the same time, it was just sort of the style that had me concerned. I'm like, is this Mad Max or is this Mortal Kombat?
Mate, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna lie. That is one of the things I put on my bullet points. I literally had Mad Max vibes from that trailer. Like, nuts.
Yeah. Like, King Kano was something very, very different, little unexpected. But then you have characters like, say, Kira, who is I think, fantastic from the 3D era. And she just appeared to be a complete completely different character in this movie. So, you know, I was just very hesitant. I'm like, I hope they're not pushing everything a little too hard here. But then you watch it and, you know what? I think there was a lot of good in this movie and it actually, genuinely, surprised me. So, yeah, we'll definitely get more into the details of that. But you know, speaking of, another movie being released, so soon, really, what's your thoughts on, yearly films in general? Are you down with that concept? Or do you think they might be rushing it a little too much, like with Cage Match just around the corner?
I mean, I'm someone that I'm actually quite happy to have a yearly Mortal Kombat film. I mean...
Yeah, me too.
We waited so long for the live-action film, and now that we're just getting the animation come through and they're, like, slowly but surely coming through, like, I highly go for... yearly release, but again at the same time I don't want it to be so rushed that we're gonna just have right. so much like bad lore and mistakes and so there is all that, but it depends on the team that's going to be working on it personally, so more content but give it to me.
I agree. Like, especially with the silence that we've been getting about Mortal Kombat 12 and things like that, how the community is kind of dying down a bit this year, how we haven't had much activity in the Mortal Kombat community. It's good to actually have something in between there to keep us busy and to keep us, you know, talking about something. So, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, even though we didn't get much for the 30th anniversary of Mortal Kombat, at least we got this. So, I mean, that was a positive.
Mm.
I highly agree. Yeah, I was pretty excited either way. How does the cover art compare to previous films? Considering King Kano's role in the film, should he have been in the front and center of the cover in your mind, or what was your opinion on that?
That would have made more sense. I mean, I didn't recognize that was Sub-Zero when I first saw it on the cover behind Kenshi. I mean, he looks so freaking different.
A lot of people thought it was Borracho.
I don't know if I would have gotten there, but... but, no, I thought maybe that was Shuchinko or something like that, more so than Borracho, because of the gray hair, the ponytail.
Okay, that's
so,
fair.
Yeah, that didn't strike me down as Sub-Zero, to be honest. And also the age difference I noticed throughout the movie between Kenshi and Sub-Zero kind of threw me off a little bit.
Yeah,
because in Deadly Alliance, they appeared to be around the same age, kind of. So, that just kind of threw me for a loop a little bit with the cover, with Sub-Zero being on the cover. I would have thought that King Kano would have made more sense to be on the cover, for sure.
Mm.
Absolutely. And in my opinion, I think... You know, needless to say, sort of the biggest role of the whole movie, sort of the highlight, in my opinion, possibly the best performance in the entire movie, was actually David Wenham as Kano. I thought he was extraordinary as the character. I think
He nailed it.
He was wonderful. I really liked him, and I really liked, I can't remember the gentleman's name right now. The man who played Kenshi was also very good as well.
Yes.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, with the clip art for myself, I think the reason that they obviously done, like, had Shang Tsung in it as well, like, is obviously just to throw you off, because, like, Shang Tsung is such a big, powerful, like, sorcerer, that you think he's going to be the main villain. Like, I know that you had the trailer that you see King Kano, but you would think eventually that Shang Tsung would just be having a plan to himself and it would actually work, but... Does it? I don't think it does.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I think it's just to, like, throw off the... for, like, people that haven't seen it in that kind of sense, personally. Just to say, yeah, it's going to be Shang Tsung. But, yeah, I can see the point. Like, it would make more sense, anyway, to have King Kano.
Yeah, certainly. Man, this movie, though, you know, it was kind of a trip down memory lane, because it was great seeing such characters that, were never really shown too much before. Like, I mean, we've seen No Face. I was like, what hell? Yeah. You know, that was a real treat.
What was Tayshia, though? Tayshia should have been in this.
I was thinking about that. Yeah. I said, where the hell is she? If you can have Jarek in there for 2 seconds, I'm sure you can have her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They had Dairu in there for 2 seconds, too.
Holy shit, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, towards the end.
Where was that? Where was that?
I believe it was either Scorpion or Sub-Zero that fought him, I think. For like 2 seconds, he came in slashing with his sword. For about 2 seconds. Yeah, I'll have to. Let me see if I can fast forward. I still have it on my screen. I might be able to.
That's amazing.
One as well,
yeah.
Oh, copyright.
Wow! Very cool. So we're gonna of course talk about the excessive violence and so forth. Do you think it was warranted in this movie? Do you think there was any scene that was maybe a bit too much, a bit too overkill? Or do you think it was... No, look at Lou. No, come on, that's Mortal Kombat, mate.
No, it's Mortal Kombat,
exactly,
you're right.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm not going to lie. My notes are just constantly saying, like, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point. It's brutal, brutal, brutal. Like, there's literally...
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
The way, like, literally, there's even going from, like, when you first see the cage... And stuff. You see those two girls fighting.
Yes.
Like, what? Who were they? Who were they? That's one of my questions.
I thought one of them was supposed to be Jackie.
I had initially thought that too. Yeah.
I thought that, but then the way that those two just died, I was just like, there's just like literally no like time to breathe. I think at the minute it's just so violent, and I love it.
Too. I mean, it totally. I was like, oh my God, when they shot their heads off like that. When Kano did that, I was like, holy shit. So.
Oh my God. Or nuts. When that one man was like clearly dead on the ground. But then, who was it? Was it Aaron Black? Yeah. Just on his motorcycle running over that guy's face for no reason.
Squashed it.
Like, oh. Damn.
Mate, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it can ever be over the top, do you? Like, on a serious note, could it be over the top? Overkill, should I say?
No. I thought that the fatalities in the first and the second one were very graphic and very gory, so I feel like this movie matches up to it. So, they're not that over the top, but it's still, like, extremely gory, and it took me by surprise still. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's just sort of, you know, a part of Mortal Kombat. I mean, we've had some crazy fatalities back in the day, you know. We've had freaking... one of the most gruesome fatalities in my mind was, what do you call it? Noob Saibot's Wishbone on MK9 there.
Oh, he mate.
Splits the guy down the middle.
Nice.
You know.
So good.
Yeah. Skimming towards the end there, Justin.
Yeah, I'm just trying. It's it's bothering me where I saw Diver. I know I saw him.
This is what the podcast is going to be all about now. Is you're going to be Justin trying to find
him. amazing. But it's in there somewhere. That's really cool. I did not know that. Did you guys spot any other 3D era characters that were sort of in there quick? As I said, I remember Jarek just sort of ran up and died in a few seconds. I don't think if there's any others.
I don't even remember Jarek in there.
No?
No.
Actually, Kano says his name. He's like, Jarek? And then he runs up and then gets split, like killed really, really quick.
Yeah, some of these 3D era characters get the dirty treatment from the cartoons or the 2021 movie, like what they did with Natara. I mean, they really did her dirty. Oof. So,
And Natara is such a great character. I mean, if you're going to do that for the whole flawless victory thing, I think you should have just done it to a shitty character like Meat or something. You know?
Mm. Like, come on. Or Mocap.
There's quite... Mocap. Yeah. Where am I?
Yeah. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think I saw Drawman in this film, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yep.
He was in there, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was actually getting like a bit disappointed that he'd done King Jared a little bit dirty like that in All Yeah.
I know, that was a little too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was your opinion on how they didn't really establish the story in regards to how Kano came to power? I think that was one of the downfalls of the movie.
Like, why is he called King Kano? I wish they would have elaborated on that a bit more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a real shame that they didn't actually go into that, like, whatsoever, to be honest. Like, I feel this is like one of the flaws that I think that if they have a longer movie, how many times have we said during other reviews that these films need to be longer? If they had it for like an extra 15 minutes and just put that in there for King Kano, like how did he get it? Like there has to be some kind of story from Bai Liang or someone to just say like how he actually got there in the first place.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much more they could explore on. And, you know, one of the good things about this movie in particular, in my opinion, is, it was an hour and a half, but the pacing was really, really good. I found myself consistently intrigued in the story. Yeah, it was just played beautifully. But I feel like, yes, there could have been some more exploration in areas, and that is definitely one of them. You know, a lot of the Die Hard fans will say it, you know, we could gladly watch a 3-hour movie, right? And that would be 100%. The time of our lives.
Yep. It's not long enough.
Yeah. I mean, the violence is so insane, but I mean, you know, the most intriguing thing about Mortal Kombat, in my mind, and I'm sure probably your guys' as well, is that it's just the back lore. It's so interesting, and it really, really goes pretty deep with some characters. Kano is a fan favorite, you know, been around since MK1, and just what the hell happened in this, I guess you can call it universe, to make him so powerful.
Yeah, and like another thing too is that he is actually fully cyberized. So I would have liked to have seen how that happened too. And why they did it to make him fully cyberized. I mean, I guess because of his bionic eye, the directors thought, okay, well, why not make him fully cyberized? I mean, that's a mystery to me too. I wish they would have elaborated on that as well.
I think the thing is that I feel that they feel that they can like get away with either giving you a mystery or just giving you like a plain scene that just tells you. Because like, you can kind of see like, Shang Tsung goes into his little like area, doesn't he? Like in the Kano's tower or whatever you want to call it. You know Kano's tower?
Right.
So
I think it's the Black Dragon Fight Club.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Mate, Toasty, I've done it again. I forgot where I was leading with that, man.
It's that time of the night, man. Huh? Oh, it's all good. But speaking of Shang Tsung, and I love that scene where he tries to steal King Kano's soul.
Oh, that's so good. The brutality again. Brutality to that scene after that he realizes he doesn't take it.
Yeah. I thought that
was. That's what I was about to say.
Oh, there we go.
Talking about the scene where, like, it's basically implying that Shang Tsung done that to Kano because he has all the tools and that there.
Sorry, because he has all the tools and that there?
He has all the tools. Like, it looks like it's operating tools when you first, like, see him go into the chamber. Oh, not chamber, but the tower thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember.
I'm going to have to probably send you a screenshot of it after. Do the same thing at Justin and tell you where exactly what I'm talking about. No. But yeah, anyway. That's what I think. Like, that's how I think King Kano became that, because he asked Shang Tsung to, like, do it to him.
Sure. Yeah, sense. Perhaps.
Potentially. Perhaps. But yeah, there's all that kind of stuff, anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, that's one interesting take. Kinkano, what was your opinion on the portrayal of Kwai Liang as a farmer, not interested in fighting, until he really, really had to? Were you comfortable with that decision?
Let's just say it was corny. Corny.
It was corny. Yes.
Nice.
I mean, it was unexpected. I mean, that's something we associate with Jax, right? Being a farmer.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was just unexpected for me.
Yeah,
with the chickens and the corn and the all the produce that he brought over.
And they're just picking on him.
Too, that Kenshi was really a melon head.
And the way they were, like, bullying him, eh? And just tossing him around. And you just see, like, Cobra with that big-ass smile on his face just grabbing all the, like, vegetables.
Like, take what you want.
Take what you want. Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, that's different. Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't sure what to think about that. Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, that's just not something I associate with Sub-Zero.
No.
I mean, you guys pretty much said it. It wasn't something that I was necessarily expecting. But at the same time, I feel, again, for this like kind of universe as it is, I do kind of feel like it does fit at the same time. It's, yeah, like you say, it is unexpected, but I still fucking love it. It's so good. Such a different take.
Yeah, it is a different take, and I respect that.
Yeah. One character that I was really impressed with personally. It really lived up to the hype as he was in MKX, is Tremor.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man. Yes. He was a beast. He was large in size.
He was the ultimate bad guy in this film. He was the ultimate bad guy. And
he was scary.
I don't know. Yeah. To me, Mortal Kombat X kind of made him look like a joke compared to this film. Because Kano and MKX, or Tremor and MKX, wanted to leave the Black Dragon, so
that's true.
Yep, but this guy was standing forth the whole time and really took charge of everything and was the ultimate guy to beat. And I think that's great. He's an underrated character, in my opinion.
Yeah. Very underrated.
Mate, it's things like this when you actually just want Tremor to be in the main roster for Mortal Kombat 12.
Hey man.
He was just so good in this film, so menacing and everything from the second you see him. And like when he's entering the cage and stuff, the way that he's talking to Kano and like the respect and that, but with the deep voice
The glowing lava in his chest too. You can see the lava running through. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like go on.
Yeah, and I loved the scene where all these Black Dragon, combatants were trying to defeat Kenshi, having absolutely zero luck. And then Tremor comes into the scene. And he gets screwed.
Beats
like
the shit out of Kenshi.
Oh my lord! He could have very well killed him. He could have killed him, but Shang Tsung stopped him.
Mm.
So I thought that was incredible. What were you about to say there, Luke?
Jared, I can't remember. Tosu.
And Shang Tsung, he was fine. Old, withered. I absolutely loved how he's like, my name is Song. I thought of Deadly Alliance right away. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I thought his transition to power again was pretty damn cool. Mm. I loved how they displayed that whole scene that we had heard from in Deadly Alliance. I thought they did a very good job with that.
I remember seeing that the loading screen in Deadly Alliance with Kenshi in front of the Well of Souls, and I thought that was great that they elaborated on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I always associated with Shang Tsung with Jafar from Aladdin, believe it or not. Shang Tsung, the reason I say that is because he disguised himself as an old, I don't know if he disguised himself as an old man in this film, but Jafar in Aladdin, he was an old man in that film too, in the prison, and he guided Aladdin through the desert to get through the Cave of Wonders. And so Shang Tsung was an old man in this film, guiding him through the desert to get to the Well of Souls. And, yep, Jafar betrayed Aladdin for the lamp, and Shang Tsung betrayed Kenshi for the Well of Souls. And so Jafar transformed into a snake, and we associate snakes with Shang Tsung, too. So, Shang Tsung always reminded me of Jafar from Aladdin for those reasons. So.
That is fantastic. I never really thought of that.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. That's actually really excellent. Awesome.
What did you think of the dynamic between Kenshi and Kuai Liang? I thought that was interesting. I liked the whole, I guess you can call it training montage, it sort of brought back flashbacks to me of like Jackie Chan's a drunken master when he's like in like intense training. I thought that was pretty neat. But what I thought was absolutely hilarious was when Kenshi is running after that chicken.
Rocky Balboa style.
I think of Beverly Hills Ninja. Chris Rock running after that chicken.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, that killed me. And then he finally catches it, right?
Yeah.
And then, I'm not going to kill this guy. Let's go. Well, we need to if we want to eat. That was great.
Oh, so good. Yeah, the training sequence itself, I thought it was really good. Like, the way that he was going on about the connection that he has with Sento as well, like, going into that bit of lore, like, I really enjoyed that, and the way that Kuai Liang was asking him questions, like, it's just the development that you had in that scene, just where they were just in Sub-Zero's, well, Kuai Liang's little, what do you call it, a little, help me out. What would you call it? His little farm thing going on. Yeah. I thought it was just really good that the how he was actually just having that full blown like conversation with him about that sword and how like it's making him see and how he was like moving it a little bit, and it was like that's really interesting. It's just, and then towards the end he had all three of them. Like with Sub-Zero, Scorpion, and Kenshi, it just kind of feels like throughout this story, you've kind of seen him be this guy who felt really confident that he was going to be the best, then lost everything, and then getting to that point where he's actually like one of the main three for the story. You know how you see like Scorpion on the front cover of like the Mortal Kombat games and stuff? I just feel like this one, you had Kenshi, and it was just so well done, so like you said earlier, like it was so well paced and everything. It was
very much so,
like I said, then going to that scene in particular, it's just so well done, so well paced, and I just loved like everything about that scene. I don't know why, when I watched it this time around, the second time around, I just really paid attention to it, and it was just, again, the connection that you had between Kenshi and Kuai Liang during those scenes and the sequences was just so well done. But the one thing I would say yet again, just that tiny bit longer.
Amen.
It was just, again, like you went from like having that training sequence to then like there was the fight that was going on down that little city, and I was just like, that's just that tiny bit longer, maybe like one more lesson if that, and then go from there. But yeah, besides that, the training sequence, amazing, so good.
It reminded me of the old martial arts films. The top martial arts films with the training sequence. So, it was great.
So good.
Yeah, for sure. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but one thing I noticed watching the movie, I don't think the name Sub-Zero was even dropped.
I don't think
it was just Kuai Liang.
That's why I felt so weird actually saying Sub-Zero just then. Kuai Liang.
Yeah, the story behind Bi-Han was never really covered, aside from, the explanation of the nightmares. But I think a lot of newcomers just, flicking on this movie might be a little confused with that.
I was confused when the very first dream that Kuai Liang had, I was like, what is going on here when they first showed it? I mean, I'm like, which one is Kuai and which one is Bi-Han? So, that the start of that dream confused me just a little bit. So yeah. I see what you're saying, Marcus, about that. So
Yeah. Same.
Yeah, I think it could have been handled a little better.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah. So, in your honest opinion, who would you say is probably the top performance of the movie? I've said I like David as Kano, and the gentleman who played Kenshi. I thought they were fabulous. Who do you think stands out most to you? And is there any performance that you thought was sort of lacking?
I thought like Art Butler was pretty good. The guy that portrayed Shang Tsung.
Mm.
Okay. I think it was actually pretty menacing throughout. Like you can hear it within his voice as well, even when it was old man Shang Tsung. Like I thought he pulled it off really well, to be fair.
Right on.
As well as Tremor, of course.
Yeah, of course. No, I would have to say Tremor was probably the top for me, because I like how they made him, like I said, the ultimate bad guy, and I think that the guy nailed the voice. It sounded just like Tremor from MKX, so I thought the acting for Tremor was spot on. Trying to think who else was really, really good. Kano I thought was excellent. I mean, Kano's getting the VIP treatment this year between the 2021 movie and this movie, so Kano is the star of 2022 and 2021, so Kano and Tremor for me were the top.
Fantastic. And you know, David, he pulled off, in my opinion, like a very convincing sort of Australian accent. I think he did really good with it.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Was there any character portrayals that you're a little iffy about? You know, I've mentioned Kira's design was kind of...
I liked it. I actually liked that design. Oh, yeah. And Cobra too. I think Cobra's design was really neat.
Cobra's design was good. I thought his voice almost sounded a little forced, though.
Yeah,
his acting wasn't the best. I would have to say Cobra was a little underwhelming with the acting part of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And again, a character that I felt, however, was killed off a little too easily, too quickly, I felt. Don't you think?
Yeah, I could see that. I could agree with you there, totally.
Yeah,
I agree, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, could have been worse. Could have been better, but... Now, going back to when Kano, how he could not get his soul absorbed, I just want to hear, do you guys have any speculation as to why that might be? Why couldn't Shang Tsung steal his soul? What do you think?
I think maybe it's because he's cyberized.
It's way too much. Yeah.
He's more machine than man. I would have to say the cyberization probably had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's honestly, I've literally been having this question since I've been watching this second time around, is how is that actually happening?
Yeah, I think he kind of I thought he was overpowered.
Yeah.
That Shang Tsung couldn't kill him, and the fact that he killed Shang Tsung, that took me by surprise, so...
I was exactly the same. First time very I watched powerful. That, I was not expecting that. I was not expecting Kano to kill Shang Tsung. Like, the way that he did as well. I know that he's cyberized and everything, but still, I was still like, surely Shang Tsung would have been able to take him down. But, yeah. But even that he didn't, I still love it. I still think it's so good. Like, it's just a different way of seeing it all, isn't it?
Yeah.
From this Mortal Kombat Legends universe. It's, really good. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. And what were your opinions on... I mean, it caught me a little off guard how, like, Draman was working for the Black Dragon. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that was kind of strange.
Yeah, I associate... Drummond with being in the Netherrealm with Moloch and things like that. So yeah.
I was like, "What the hell?"
No, not the Black Dragon. That was weird.
Yeah, you've mentioned Dairu is randomly in there, but I mean, he works, you know, for
he's a mercenary, so he'll work for whoever pays him. So
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just like Aaron Black in a way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Oh, and this was very, very cool. What was your thoughts on Kuai Liang in Scorpion's allegiance towards the end?
It didn't surprise me. You got cut off. I didn't know if this was still rolling. Okay. It didn't surprise me because the game, and especially MK11, made Scorpion and Sub-Zero friends. So, That's true. End of MKX as well. So, allies. So that really didn't surprise me that they did that. But I don't know, with Sub-Zero exiting in the portal with Scorpion, like that, it was a little underwhelming for me. I felt like, I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
I'm actually quite surprised by that, to be fair.
Yeah, me too, that he was leaving everything up to Kenshi to be in control of the Lin Kuei and kind of pass the torch down to Kenshi like that. That was a little surprising for me.
Mm.
So,
I think especially after the storyline for MKX that you had Takeda, like, training under Shira right here. So now, like, Kenshi is now, like, Lin Kuei, how does that kind of work kind of thing? But I know, again, it's like a different way of seeing it all, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, I just loved the direction of how sort of, you know, Scorpion just entered that whole scene. I thought it was really badass. I really liked his look.
Oh, I loved fabulous. His look, man.
Yeah,
so good. The outfit was awesome. Amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Something that they should definitely put in the game. 100%.
Yeah.
So good. It reminded me of Spawn, to be fair.
That's, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Spawn, sure. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. It was pretty badass. What were your thoughts on the music, sound effects? Do you think it lived up? Was there anything you think could have been done better? I thought the music was fair, but like it wasn't like, oh my god, I gotta listen to the soundtrack when it's released.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. It was nothing like that. It was just sort of, you know, it was there, it was fine, but yeah, it just didn't
I didn't really pay attention to the music that much in this film, maybe because it wasn't that memorable. Like with Mortal Kombat 1995, that movie's music was awesome. But yeah, this music didn't really live up to that.
No,
in my honest opinion. So,
you know what? Sadly, I hate to say it, but I think that's the department that they've been really struggling with this past while, because many fans have said it themselves that MK 2021, the live action, even that music, it was fine. You know, it was some parts were good, especially the beginning sort of tracks by Benjamin were good, but a lot of it just sort of felt a little underwhelming. And I think if they could sort of push out like a very unique style to it, something that'll be really bold and really catch our attention, I think that would be fantastic, because as you've said, MK 1995, it was phenomenal. Not just, you know, the cool soundtrack that was released that hit platinum, but honestly, there was something very atmospheric, there was something very magical about George S. Clinton's score. You know, I think his score was fantastic for that movie as well. So, you know, hopefully they can really nail it for the next movie, whether that be Cage Match or the next live action film. I really hope they can up that. Okay, backgrounds, locations, scenery. Was there anything that you thought was really exciting or cool about this new film, or was that just something that you think could have been improved as well?
No, I think everything was was illustrated really, really well with the backgrounds, and I knew that it was like supposed to be like in a deserted Japan kind of feel, the village that they were in, the wastelands that they were in. Yeah, it felt very Japanese, very historic, and very Mortal Kombat, in my opinion. It also kind of reminded me a little bit of the desert in Mortal Kombat Armageddon. A little bit.
Oh,
so, So, and that's kind of what the overall theme of the movie is. It's supposed to be like a post-apocalyptic kind of feel, and I think it lived up to that description. So,
very Mad Max-ish,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, mate, 100%. I know you've just said it again, Tassi. It is 100% like Mad Max vibes. It's just, yeah, I love it though. Like you say, it's after, like post, like apocalyptic, like situation. Like the scenes that they put in there, yeah, so good.
Yeah, for sure. I thought they did a good job. One thing I found a little strange, though, a bit excessive in my opinion, was how, when it comes back to Kenshi, how he lost so many bloody fingers, you know what I mean? Yang lost half an arm. If they return, will these bits return too? That was a bit strange.
I think they look pretty good, though. Like, the amount of limbs that we did actually see getting lost in this film, after looking back at it, like, so many arms were being torn off and that. Like, it's just nuts. So good.
Oh, what are your thoughts on that, Justin?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, sometimes the cartoons have a habit of doing that, where if you lose an arm or a limb, they're going to replace it, and it's just going to come back.
Yes.
That was a little bit odd when he got all those parts chopped off. So I don't know if they're going to return in the next film. But then again, how are we going to know? Because the next film is apparently about Johnny Cage, so we're probably not going to know about Kenshi and his parts. So
his parts, yeah. And of course, we have to discuss this. Of course, Kronika's Keep with the hourglass. Did you find it very fitting?
Yes,
it made sense, right?
I liked it a lot. It did, to be honest. I have seen a lot of people actually hating on that, though, and I can see exactly why they would hate it. But at the same time, I loved it. Like, it was obviously the big callback to MK11.
Yeah.
And
it's a nice flashback.
Mm, yeah, definitely. And the way that the fight actually went on from there in the hourglass, so good.
Oh, loved it. When I saw Kronika's skull, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, they're gonna actually reference MK11 in this film. And I mean, it's clear that this takes place after Mortal Kombat 11 because of Kronika being dead and the hourglass being there. And that was a really nice tribute to Mortal Kombat 11, in my opinion.
Yeah. So.
I couldn't agree more. And sort of as Lou said, I thought the final battle, if you will, between Kwai Liang and King Kano, I thought it was spectacular. I thought they did a wonderful job. I really liked King Kano's death scene. What was the exact word he said?
Crushed in the gear.
Bollocks.
Bollocks.
Loved it.
Like you just say though, that fucking line is just so good, and I love how little many of them he has throughout the films as well.
Yeah,
it's just so good. Like when Cable actually did die, he just looked at it and was like, "Oh, sorry, mate."
Oh, Cobra.
Sorry, Cobra. About that. Cable.
Yeah. We're going to the X-Men universe now.
My bad.
Yeah, for sure. That was great.
Mm.
So let's discuss the ending. Kenshi, you are the Lin Kuei now. Find others, train them, protect Earthrealm. Kuai Liang goes to Scorpion to the Netherrealm. So, Justin, you were a little underwhelmed by it. I was, I think, a little bit mixed, but Lou, you said you really liked it? Or what was your opinion?
You actually froze up so bad for me then, just there, pal. I couldn't actually hear anything you just said. sorry.
No. So going back to that area we discussed in the ending where Kenshi was left alone, he's sort of the Lin Kuei now, and Kuai Liang goes with Scorpion to the Netherrealm. Did you enjoy that ending, Lou? I know Justin was a little underwhelmed.
I enjoyed it. It was again, it was like a different take, because if like again, I can imagine like some real hard fans like saying, oh, well, what about Takeda? And he's like meant to be training under Shirai Ryu. And again, I know it's like completely different era and stuff, but like some people would be like, well, how would that happen in the future? And blah, blah, blah. But me personally, it was nice. It was a different approach to it. And it was like fun. You never know, like Scorpion and Kuai Liang will come back eventually when the time's right for them to. And maybe if they were to do a part two to Kenshi, maybe in a four like set 25 years later, well, 20 years later or something, and see how everything looks out now King Kano's gone. Like, yeah, it's just like your imagination can go wild from seeing just that happen, you know. So there's just so many possibilities that it can go down and explore just from this one little universe, I think. So that's why I like it so much. It's good.
Yeah, right on. So guys, let's get to our overall final impressions. Is there anything else before we head to the score that you guys would like to discuss? Anything in your notes you guys really wanted to get out there?
Yeah, I've got one thing.
Yeah, what's up?
How do you guys feel that the fact that there was no X-rays in this Legends movie?
Yeah, I thought that was...
We obviously got, like, Kenshi's vision through, the sword. And, obviously we wouldn't need the X-rays. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
It left me a little surprised, yeah, like you said, because they sort of really emphasized that, right, in, like, previous films. So I was just sort of expecting it, but it wasn't there. So I was like, oh, well, it's a little bit disappointing because I thought, you know, it can be pretty gnarly. It can be pretty cool. Mm. But, you know, either way, I think the film worked as it was. What do you think, Justin?
I mean, because there's a lot of gory fatalities in this film. Yeah. So... they didn't necessarily need the X-rays, even though the first two films featured the X-rays. So, I mean, I think it was a nice departure. I mean, I didn't really think too much about it, to be honest, about the X-rays.
When you got all those gnarly fatalities.
I mean, MK11 didn't have X-rays either. So, we haven't seen X-rays in a while.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Very good.
How about you, Justin? Happened. Yeah, how about you, Justin? Is there anything else you wanted to discuss in particular? Or?
I mean, I'm looking at my notes here, and we pretty much covered all of it. So, I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but I can't seem to think of anything off the top of my head.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So let's get down to the final score. Who would like to go first? Lou, Justin?
Sure, I'll take it. So,
kay.
I simply, hands down, love this film. Like, it was one of my favorite MK things that have been released, like, for a while, personally, like, in my opinion. The fact that it was a different take, it was a different universe, maybe, like, more likely, but it was just, to me, watching it just now, like, I can see myself, like, watching it again very soon, and then, like, again, regularly, you know? Like, I would see this film, like, part of my collection now, as much as I would watch. Maybe not as much, because I have to watch 95 more, but it's part of the collection now, and that would be a film that I would watch quite regularly, and now it's got my hopes up for the future of the Legends series.
Yeah.
So, bring on the next one with Johnny Cage. And yeah, with that, I would probably the only negatives I would actually say is that there's a few certain character developments, like we said earlier, with Shang Tsung not being able to take the soul, so it didn't really explain why that was happening, kind of thing. So I think because
why King Kano never came to explanation why he's called King Kano.
That's
the
thing that
bothered me the most.
Yeah, and it's all those little things that just add up, and I'm just like, right, so I have to be quite fair. So for me personally, if we was doing it out of 10, I'd probably actually give it like an 8.5 still. I mean, that's still pretty high, but it's those tiny little flaws I can still bypass it, but it can easily be adjusted if they were just to throw the extra time into the film, make it that little bit longer to explain those things and show us those things. And yeah, so that's why I'm saying 8.5. It just needs that little bit of a longer time frame in the actual film. So
yeah, very well. Very well said, Lou. You know, I strongly agree with a lot of your points. You know, I think the best thing about this movie to me was quite frankly, I really liked the storytelling. I thought they did easily the best job in this film. I was very, very drawn to it. The pacing was just extraordinary. You know, there's some gnarly, gruesome scenes. This one, they stood out to me more so than the other animation films. I just found it had some pretty good arcs there throughout the story. Performances were pretty great for the most part. You know, I've already said my two favorites, but man, I think pretty much almost everyone did a great job. Like Tremor was on point. But yes, in terms of any negative points, yeah, expansion. I think it needed to be a bit longer because, to be honest, when I was finished the movie, I was like, damn it, that's it? Like, I feel like there could have just been so much more. I was having so much fun, and yes, you know, the audience is going to be asking, well, what about Kano? What's going on here? What's the story? And yeah, you know, it was, you know, as I've said, it was just a trip down memory lane. I loved a lot of the 3D era characters, you know, getting shown and at the forefront. So yeah, that's my opinion there. And overall, I'd probably give it a 7.5 out of 10. I thought it was pretty good.
Nice.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. How about you, Justin?
I agree with both of you on the fact that, yes, this should have been longer. There should have been more explanations in there, you know, about why Shang Tsung couldn't take his soul and why Kano became King Kano. That's definitely something that they should have elaborated on a little bit more. Let's see here. I'm blanking out a little bit.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay, grandma. No, the visuals were great. The fatalities were really, really gruesome. I really enjoyed seeing those. So they lived up to Mortal Kombat's reputation there. The story was very unique. Like how it takes place in a new era and it's post-apocalyptic. And
Sorry, I brought you up there from laughing. It's only I was laughing because I done it earlier, so I was like, "Oh, I'm not the only one." my brother.
Overall, I would give it probably an 8 out of 10. My personal favorite was Scorpion's Revenge from this series.
Okay.
I enjoyed that a bit more. I really respect that they put this in a 3D era, gave us new designs, new takes for the 3D era characters. So, I overall enjoyed it. And like I said with you two guys, that we wish it was just a little bit more expansive and that they could have explored a little bit more behind the origins of Kano and Shang Tsung. So, and I just love the nods that they put into Deadly Alliance with the Well of Souls. I thought that was the standout scene for me.
So,
so I would say 8 out of 10 for me.
Wow, wonderful.
Nice.
Yep.
So one last question before we end off. In terms of any future animation Mortal Kombat films, is there anything in particular that you two would really like to see on the screen? Where would you like to see the series go?
Interesting question.
That's a very good one. There's just so many, but personally, I would go for an Adenia story.
Oh, much needed. Much needed.
I think
that sounds nice.
You can easily get that done because, like, I know that if they were to do it for the live action film, then amazing. But if not, then they should just do like a full hour and a half to 2 hour film. In Edenia, from start to finish, Edenia.
Yeah, I agree.
Needs to be more love.
Yes. I would like to see the invasion of Edenia happen with Shao Kahn taking over, and how Sindel's perspective shows, and Kitana's views, and Jade, and that I agree. Edenia would be a really interesting thing to expand on, and of course, my boy Johnny Cage is getting his own film, so that's really exciting. Yes. I can't wait to see what they're going to bring with that. So
yeah.
Oh,
very interesting.
You know, I think Edenia is perfect because one character who I think has a lot of potential, who's very interesting. I liked his depiction in the comics. Is King Jared. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really want to explore him more. What is he capable of? You know, let's get behind the scenes there. I really, really want to know. Mm. So, I think you pretty much nailed it. You know, you'll see polls on Twitter and on message boards. You know, what's the one place that you would like to see in the movies? And almost everyone says Edenia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely extravagant.
Ooh, I know,
place.
I know.
Some great characters.
Yeah.
I would like to also see, same with the 2021 films, where in their directions that they're going to take it, I would like to see a Shaolin Monks perspective, like, about Liu Kang and Kung Lao.
Yeah.
So I would like to see maybe the Legend series go in that direction too. So I want to, I think a Shaolin Monks would be great.
I almost said the exact same thing. To be fair, I really, really did, but I just thought, you know what? Where Ludi and Max have been saying that they're pushing for it, I'm just got full hopes for that they're gonna do it.
Yeah, me too.
I really am rooting for them, but yeah, if they don't get to do it, then yeah, a Legends film for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, also, my friends.
Sorry, my man. Just one other thing within that question. Yeah. Do you know what else I would do? Follow on
What's
the
that?
Conquest series.
Yes.
Yeah.
You, mate, honestly, because where I've just finished it recently, I'm just like, I can't believe they didn't like continue this where they were like talking about it, and
it broke
my heart. It's actually, honestly, I was actually near enough in tears the other night because I finished Conquest. I was just like, mate, this is honestly so cheesy, but it's just so good.
Yeah, you know, to this day, I watch Vengeance, and man, my heart just dropped. It's like, oh my god, there's so much potential here. And you know, kind of like Jeffrey Meek said to me, you know, it was just going to be bigger and better. You know, they would just keep on improving. And I mean, ultimately, we really wanted to see the proper demise for the Great Kung Lao. You know what I mean? With Goro, that would have been really cool.
MK11's ending with the Great Kung Lao is canon, then we'll probably be able to explore that a bit too. So
yeah, that'd be so good.
Bring on Taja and Zero, the greatest Mortal Kombat character.
Oh, that man, you know that they would come back to actually, surely they would do it for like a voice actor thing. Like, if they were to do an animation version of, like, Conquest, but a continuation from this original series. Like, do you actors would come back? Do you reckon the actors would come back?
Well, I'm sure they would. I mean, Bruce Locke, to this day, he's doing a lot of voice work. He was actually, I just spotted him in the new Horizon game. So, you know, I think he's got a great voice. I think he was awesome Shang Tsung.
Yeah, he was really good. Really, really good. But yeah, I feel like we've just gone off topic and spoke about Conquest. Sorry.
Anyway, okay, guys. That pretty much concludes today's episode. It's always intriguing to talk about these Mortal Kombat projects. It seems the Legends films have proved to be rather successful and are very much resonating with audiences. We now have the film MK Legends Cage Match just on the horizon, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Joel McHale is always a laugh riot, and I think we're in for another treat. We would like to thank everyone once again for tuning in today. It really means a lot to us. We'd also like to remind you at Kamidoku that we have a very important episode coming up next time. The date is scheduled for Sunday, October 30th, this time around. An unusual day for us, but it's one that works best for this particular fundraiser. We implore you to check it out. It's regarding a young one named Raiden Pham, and it's something that is very, very dear to us. With that being said, me, Lou, and Justin wish you all a wonderful day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be seeing you in the next one. You know how it goes. Have fun, stay safe, and stay flawless.